Hello, this is Tierra with the Pantograph, dated Wednesday, March 11th, 2026. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Downtown Dining, Look Forward to Coming Back. This article is headlined with a picture. It shows a building that says Napoli's Italian Rest, R-E-S-T. And it is captioned, Napoli's Italian Restaurant, which opened on February 25th, is at 110 West Washington Street in downtown Bloomington. This photo was taken by D. Jack Alkire Photos with the Pantograph. Napoli's Once Italian Food, Tradition to Win Over Diners. This article is written by Olivia Jacobs, ojacobs@pantograph.com. This article takes place in Bloomington. A new Italian restaurant run by five brothers has brought three generations of traditional and authentic food from Naples to downtown Bloomington. Napoli's Italian Restaurant at 110 West Washington Street, the former location of Rice and Spice Indian Grill, officially opened its doors on Wednesday, February 25th. The business is owned and operated by brothers Giovanni, Antonio, Eduardo, Vito, and Vincenzo Alecci. Everything is made by our family members. We're five brothers, well-educated, and love to cook. We grew up together. We know what to expect of one another. And you know, everything we do, it's with love and passion, work and patience, Chef Antonio Alecci said. Next is a picture of a tray of, appears to be bread, and it is captioned, a tray of garlic knots is ready for service at Napoli's Italian Restaurant. Continuing with the article. Napoli's is a third-generation restaurant drawing its name, cuisine, and heritage from the city in southern Italy. The family has a restaurant in Naples that is not related to Napoli's, but the downtown Bloomington restaurant is the family's second Napoli's location. The first opened about 3 years ago at 1807 South Neal Street in Champaign. The brothers at one point were also helping their extended family members run locations in Pekin and Decatur, but Champaign and Bloomington are now the only locations at this time under Alecci family ownership. Antonio Alecci said his uncle Luigi sponsored him as an exchange student from Italy when he came to the United States for his education. He worked in his uncle's restaurant until the family opened the Napoli's in Champaign. We make everything fresh. From bread, to pasta, to desserts, soups, salads. We have a large menu with over 80 items. We have seafood. We have, you know, pizza made in a brick oven. We have sandwiches, stromboli, all the good stuff, Antonio Alecci said. Antonio Alecci emphasized that they cook everything fresh to order and even make their own sauces in-house, such as their tomato sauce, which takes about 6 hours to cook. He said he believes the variety of items offers something for everyone, and the three-generation heritage makes them unique. He said the restaurant is a good combination of authentic family, history, and food. It's very rare when you go to an Italian restaurant, and you find everybody there from Italy, and the hospitality and the food speaks for itself. It's very reasonably priced for what we serve, and we're hoping that our community can support us, Antonio Alecci said. Napoli's has been voted the best restaurant in Champaign, and the family hopes to achieve the same with the Bloomington location, Antonio Alecci said, noting they've already had returning customers despite being open for only a couple of weeks. They, customers, love the food, everything on the menu. You can't go wrong. From, you know, the chef's special, the chef's favorite, to the tour of Italy, to a pizza, just everything is amazing, said Andrea Rosales, server and manager for Napoli's in Bloomington. I feel like I just landed at the right spot because we all pour our hearts and souls into just trying to give the best service that we can to all the guests that come in through those doors. We want them to enjoy their experience. We want them to look forward to coming back. So far, popular items for guests include the tour of Italy, which comes with lasagna, fettuccine alfredo, and chicken parmesan, fettuccine tutto mare, all sea, shrimp scallopini, pasta primavera with chicken, and the chicken broccoli. Rosalie said it's hard for her to pick a favorite, but she really enjoys the manicotti. Antonio Alecci said he enjoys the fettuccine tutto mare, as well as the lasagna, shrimp al vino, veal, parmesan, and the tour of Italy. Customers have liked the shrimp, Napoli, and the stuffed mushrooms for appetizers, and the complimentary bread, Rosales added. Napoli's offers a lunch special from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, and all lunch specials are served with a homemade Italian garlic roll. Rosales says she would also like to introduce a weekly or monthly special as well. Rosales brings over 20 years of experience in the restaurant industry, including helping to open Wild Berries in Bloomington and other locations. She has also worked as a dental assistant and owns her own business as a nail technician, Glamo Rosen by Drea. She said she's tried stepping away from the restaurant industry, but she said she can't get the love for it out of her heart and soul. She said she was drawn to working for Napoli's because it is a family-owned business, and she has experience with opening new restaurants. She has been helping the restaurant build its social media presence and connecting with guests. We use nothing but fresh ingredients. Everything is made from scratch. And the service, like I said, we really focus on from the moment the guests walk in the door, we notice the guests. We go after tables. We make sure that, you know, they are happy. The food is tasting amazing, she said. Napoli's also offers vegetarian and gluten-free items, but Rosales wants customers to be aware those items are still made in the kitchen where items with gluten are prepared. Her goals for the future are to have a line of people out the door who want to eat at Napoli's. I know that the locals, they love good food. I know not everybody's on social media, so I can only do so much there, but I know the word of mouth. Everybody is going to be telling their friends. Everybody is going to be telling their coworkers. Everybody is going to be telling their family. And I know soon we will have a line out the door, she said. Antonio Alecci said they are working on obtaining their liquor license, but guests are allowed to bring in their own wine for a corkage fee. And they are also working on a website for the Bloomington location. Customers can order online for pickup or delivery at slicelife.com. This article is written again by Olivia Jacobs. Contact Olivia Jacobs at 309-820-3352. Follow Olivia on Twitter at Olivia_Jacobs. If you go to Napoli's, there is some information included in the article. What? Napoli's Italian restaurant. Where? 110 West Washington Street, Bloomington. Hours, 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., Monday through Saturday. 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., Sunday. Email, napolisbloomington@gmail.com. Phone, 309-225-4088. Social media, Napoli's Italian Restaurant - Bloomington, Illinois on Facebook. Online ordering, slicelife.com. Website, napolisir.com. The next article on the front page is titled Bloomington. City backs Carl Project. Infrastructure deal preps for East Side expansion. This article is written by Drew Zimmerman. Drew.Zimmerman@lee.net. This article takes place in Bloomington. A three-party agreement that will help pave the way for a new Carle Health Medical Campus on the east side of Bloomington received City Council approval on Monday. The Carle Foundation, Dineen Brothers Farms, LLC, and the city agreed to privately fund about $6 million in public infrastructure improvements within Empire Business Park that could support future development. The property is across Empire Street from Central Illinois Regional Airport. One of these developments is a mixed-use medical campus that could offer healthcare facilities, wellness centers, professional offices, and possible commercial and residential uses with future expansion capability. This would accompany a nearby outpatient center and health and fitness center already operated by Carle Health at 3024 East Empire Street. Bloomington Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus said the agreement was the next step in Carle Health choosing to grow its footprint in Central Illinois, which is happening because the council is creating an environment where people want to build. We also think it's the next step in Bloomington continuing to become a healthcare destination, Tyus said. We're growing in that area considerably, and there's more to come and more to be announced. Robert Cavignall, president of Carle Broman Medical Center and Carle Eureka Hospital, said in a news release that the project allows Carle Health to thoughtfully plan for future facilities and services that best meet the evolving needs of the community. We are excited to partner with the City of Bloomington and the Dineen family to offer the community more moments of connection and strengthen the medical services already in place to create a fully community-integrated wellness experience for the enrichment of the broader community, Cavignall said in the release. Carle would be responsible for about $4.9 million in infrastructure work, including the long-awaited extension of Cornelius Drive within 3 years and the construction of a new roadway that would connect Cornelius Drive with Empire Street. Dineen Brothers Farms would invest another $1.1 million into Halls Ferry Road and Maggery Drive extensions in participation in the construction of a public trail system that would link to Constitution Trail. The Dineen family has deep roots in the city of Bloomington, and we are pleased to be working with Carle Health in the city of Bloomington on this project, Matt Dineen said on behalf of the Dineen family. Carle is a recognized leader for healthcare in Central Illinois, and the plan that Carle Health brings for the property fits well with our vision for the remaining area to be a positive addition to the community. The city agrees to waive half of its development fees, up to $600,000, accept ownership and maintenance of an on-site drainage system, reimburse certain oversizing costs associated with the Constitution Trail extension, and fund the last 250 feet of the Cornelius Drive extension. The council approved by a 7-0 vote. Alderwoman Jenna Kearns was absent and Alderwoman Molly Ward abstained. According to a news release from Carle Health, this will be a multi-year development and the community will continue to receive updates as the project moves forward. Included with this article is a picture of a city map provided by the City of Bloomington, and it is captioned, "A map of East Bloomington shows the planned trail connections proposed in a three-party development agreement approved by the City Council on March 9, 2026. This article was written by Drew Zimmerman. Contact Drew Zimmerman at 309-820-3276. Follow Drew on Twitter at DZimmermanLee. Our last article on the front page is titled Congress, Trump Demands Voting Bill. This article is written by Lisa Mascaro, AP Congressional Correspondent. This article takes place in Washington. President Donald Trump said Monday he won't sign any other legislation into law until Congress passes a strict proof of citizenship voting bill that he says also must end Americans' ability to vote by mail, a startling demand months before the midterm elections. Trump told House Republicans during their annual retreat at his golf club in Florida that he doesn't think they will win elections unless voting laws are toughened up to prevent fraud. Even though mail ballots are popular in many states, and federal law already requires that voters in national elections be U.S. citizens, with scant evidence that non-citizens ever try to vote. The president wants to bolster the so-called Save America Act, which the House already approved, and he pressed the Senate to push past its filibuster rules to send it to his desk. Voting experts said the bill could disenfranchise about 20 million American voters who don't have birth certificates or other documents readily available, a number that would likely swell with the additional ban on mail balloting that Trump is demanding. "I'm not going to sign anything until this is approved," Trump said, calling it his number one priority. "It'll guarantee the midterms," he said. "If you don't get it, big trouble." The president's determination to impose election changes has sounded alarms from voting rights groups as the Trump administration reaches deep into the realm of the states, which, under the Constitution, are in charge of election ballots and procedures in the U.S. It also comes as his Republican Party, which narrowly controls Congress, faces headwinds this fall, its majorities at risk. Lawmakers have other priorities, including the more immediate need to fund the Department of Homeland Security, as airport workers and others are going without paychecks amid the fight in Congress over the agency's immigration and deportation operations. Democrats largely oppose Trump's efforts to seize more control over elections, and Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said Trump's demands would gridlock the chamber. "This is what he does. He's a thug, he's a bully," said Schumer of New York. House Speaker Mike Johnson, who is close with Trump, appeared alongside the president on the stage with other GOP leaders applauding the bill. But Senate Majority Leader John Thune says using the so-called talking filibuster to pass the voting bill, as Trump and others propose, isn't as easy as it seems. "We can't find a piece of legislation in history that's been passed that way," Thune told reporters. Trump said even if it takes 6 months, he wants the bill approved before any others will be signed into law. The president continues to claim that he won the 2020 election, and his Justice Department is digging into his concerns. The FBI took the highly unusual move of seizing ballots and elections materials in Georgia, and most recently in Arizona. Trump wants the GOP-led Congress to build on the Safeguarding American Voter Eligibility, or SAVE America Act, with the new package, which he calls the Best of Trump. Already the bill, as approved by the House, would require voters to present proof of citizenship with a passport or birth certificate when they register to vote. They would also have to show a photo ID when they cast ballots, as many states already require. Trump would add one main provision to ban mail-in ballots, which are used by many states nationwide. He would make exceptions for voters who are disabled, in the military, or in other situations. The president believes mail-in ballots are fraudulent, but voting groups had long championed the practice as helping to make it easier for Americans to vote. The president also wants to tack on two unrelated provisions around transgender rights issues, one that would ban those born as men from playing in women's sports, and another to block sex reassignment surgeries on some minors. Trump also mentioned the possibility of adding an unrelated foreign surveillance bill, known as FISA, which is up for an extension and is often a difficult political matter in Congress. We continue with our next article on page 2, titled Unit 5 Seeks Chittick's Principle. This article is written by Drew Zimmerman, drew.zimmerman@lee.net. This article takes place in Normal. McLean County Unit 5 has posted an opening for a new principal at Chittick's Junior High School after it was announced that Mariana Nicasio will be resigning at the end of the year. In an email to Chittick's parents, Nicasio said she reached this decision earlier in the academic year after thoughtful reflection about her personal and professional needs. "Many of you know I am an adventurer at heart and decided it was time to make a big life change and am moving to California," Nicasio wrote. "This decision was not made lightly and reflects what I want in this stage of my life." She also said her decision was not related to anything currently happening within the school. "I remain fully committed to finishing the school year strong and ensuring a smooth transition," Nicasio said. "It continues to be a privilege to serve this community, and I am grateful for the relationships and experiences we have shared together." Unit 5 Superintendent Kristen Weichel confirmed Nicasio shared her plans to relocate across the country earlier in the year. "We are grateful for her leadership, and she will be deeply missed by the Chittick's community," Weichel said. She will remain with Unit 5 through June 30th and will assist with the transition. Contact Drew Zimmerman at 309-820-3276. Follow Drew on Twitter at @dzimmermanlee. The next article is titled, Police, Woman Swallowed Cocaine. This article is written by Caitlin Klepek, kklepek at pantograph.com. This article takes place in Bloomington. A Bloomington woman has been released from custody with three pending cocaine cases after police said she swallowed the drug in an attempt to conceal it while in the back of a police car. Candace J. Beard, 44, appeared Monday afternoon before Judge Brian Goldrick for petitions for sanctions, a type of hearing in which the prosecution asked the court to punish a defendant upon disobeying court orders and to revoke pretrial release in a 2025 case after she has been charged in two new cases. Beard was initially charged in November following an October 2025 traffic stop in which she was found in possession of a personal use amount of cocaine, Assistant State's Attorney Jeffrey Horv said. Court records show she had her initial appearance in that case on December 5th. She was released in order not to consume or possess any alcohol, cannabis, or prescription drugs without a valid prescription and to refrain from committing new offenses. However, Horv said Beard broke both of these mandates when she was again pulled over on Saturday, February 7th. The prosecutor said she was found in possession of cocaine and drug paraphernalia containing residue that field tested positive for cocaine. Beard told police she uses the paraphernalia to smoke crack cocaine, Horv said. The officer who had arrested her watched the backseat camera footage, which revealed the defendant removing an item concealed in her pants while in transport, Horv said. The item appeared to be a plastic baggie containing cocaine, and Beard can be seen crushing up the baggie and eating the cocaine, Horv said. Once the officer retrieved Beard from the back seat, he noticed white powder on her lips and all over the back seat, the prosecutor said. Beard spat out the wet plastic baggie, which still contained 2.5 grams of cocaine in individual plastic baggies, consistent with intent to deliver, Horv said. Beard said she had swallowed about 7 grams of cocaine after she was taken to the hospital for treatment for ingesting the cocaine, Horv said. She was not taken into custody at that time because she needed medical treatment, but she was charged with unlawful possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver 1 to 15 grams of cocaine, a Class 1 felony, and unlawful possession of up to 15 grams of a controlled substance, a Class 4 felony. On Friday, March the 6th, Beard was taken into custody on an arrest warrant in that case. When she was searched, police found personal use amounts of cocaine, resulting in a third felony case for cocaine offenses, Horv said. He argued that since she received an order not to commit new offenses or use drugs, she should be sanctioned and ordered to a jail stay. The circumstances are troubling and alarming when someone is so desperate to get caught that they eat a Schedule II controlled substance that can kill you, Horv said. This is a matter of life or death at this time, he said, adding that he believed Beard lacked concern for her own safety. Assistant Public Defender Stuart Wallace said Beard has a substance abuse issue, which is supported by the uptick of felony cases in a short period of time and her minimal criminal history. Instead of sanctions, Wallace asked for modification to Beard's conditions to address her underlying substance abuse and suggested a substance abuse evaluation. The judge ordered she be sanctioned with 4 days in jail, but since she had spent 4 days in jail since her arrest Friday, she has been released. Goldrick modified the conditions of her release, specifically ordering her not to consume or possess cocaine or other illegal substances, and to obtain a substance abuse evaluation and complete any recommended treatment. All three cases are set for pretrial at 10 a.m. March 26. Contact Caitlin Klepek at 309-820-3345. The next section on page 2 is titled Public Safety. Meth in home leads to 9-year term. This article takes place in Bloomington. A Bloomington man has been sentenced to nearly a decade in prison after he pleaded guilty to having methamphetamine in his home. Dennis E. Phillips, 58, was initially charged in March 2025 with 2 counts of unlawful possession of methamphetamine with intent to deliver. Charge is Class X and Class 1 felonies. 3 counts of unlawful possession of methamphetamine. Charges as Class 1, 2, and 3 felonies. Unlawful possession of cannabis with intent to deliver, a Class 2 felony. About a year after those charges were filed, Phillips pleaded guilty Thursday, March 5th, to 1 count of unlawful possession of methamphetamine with intent to deliver, a Class 1 felony. He was arrested March 28th, 2025, after police conducted a search of his home and found methamphetamine in various packages. An informant had reported to Illinois State Police that Phillips sold him meth, which prompted the search, prosecutors said. In response to his plea, Assistant State's Attorney Jeffrey Horv dismissed Phillips' remaining charges as part of an agreement with the defense represented by attorney Brendan Bukalski. Judge Jason Chambers sentenced Phillips to 9 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections to be served at 50% and followed by 1 year of mandatory supervised release. He earned credit for 351 days already served. Cannabis charges end in probation. This article takes place in Bloomington. A man from Normal has been sentenced to probation and a potential jail stay in McLean County after he pleaded guilty to a cannabis offense. Clifford A. Hurd, 66, pleaded guilty Friday to a Class 1 felony offense of unlawful possession of between 2,000 and 5,000 grams of cannabis with intent to deliver. Initially, Hurd also was charged with unlawful possession of cannabis with intent to deliver more than 5,000 grams, a Class X felony, unlawful possession of more than 5,000 grams of cannabis, a Class 1 felony, and unlawful possession of between 2,000 to 5,000 grams of cannabis, a Class 2 felony. However, after he appeared for a pretrial hearing before Judge Jason Chambers on Friday, Hurd instead submitted a guilty plea. The charges stemmed from a September 30, 2025 incident in Bloomington, according to court records. The prosecution, represented by Assistant State's Attorney Jeffrey Horv, dismissed Hurd's remaining charges as a part of the agreement with the defense, represented by Chicago attorney Edward McKibben. Chambers sentenced the defendant to 180 days in jail, with credit for 2 days time served, to be followed by 30 months of probation. The jail time is a stayed sentence, meaning he can be ordered to serve up to 180 days, pending review and compliance with probation. Michigan man gets prison for cannabis. This article takes place in Bloomington. A Michigan man is heading to the Illinois Department of Corrections after he pleaded guilty to a cannabis offense in McLean County. William M. Hill, 48, of Flint, has been in the McLean County Jail since August when he was charged with cannabis trafficking, a Class X felony, unlawful possession of cannabis with intent to deliver, 2,000 to 5,000 grams, a Class 1 felony, and unlawful possession of cannabis, 2,000 to 5,000 grams, a Class 2 felony. He was charged after an Illinois State Police trooper pulled him over August 23, 2025, for improper lane usage while he was traveling south on Interstate 55, according to authorities. Police reported finding 4,100 grams of cannabis in the rental car, which had a conservative street value estimate of well over $40,000, prosecutors previously stated. Hill pleaded guilty Friday to the Class 1 felony, and Assistant State's Attorney Jeff Horv dismissed his remaining charges. Judge Jason Chambers sentenced Hill to 7 years in prison, of which he will have to serve 50%, followed by 1 year of mandatory supervised release. He earned credit for 196 days already served. Defense Attorney Phil Finnegan represented Hill during his plea. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph, dated Wednesday, March 11th, 2026. Please stay tuned.